Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when we become children of God, the Lord grants us many gracious gifts. In fact, he loads us with his benefits, to use the words of the psalmist. In the classification of these gifts, we may first of all think of the gifts of salvation which come to us all alike, beginning with the forgiveness of sins. You and I need that forgiveness every day, for we sin daily and deserve God's punishment. When we lift the eyes of our faith, however, to him who was sinfully crucified for us on Calvary and appeal for pardon, he speaks to us each one, says, "Son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." That means they're sent away from you as far as the east is from the west, into an infinity, never to rise up in accusation and condemnation of you. They're gone for good. With this comes peace and fellowship with God, the gift of eternal life as a present possession, God's guidance for us throughout the whole course of our earthly walk, his supply of all of our wants while we live on earth, is standing by us in the time of trouble, is granting us a peaceful death in the faith when we go to be with him at once in the spirit and await the resurrection of the body on the final day, at which point we enter upon the heavenly and eternal phase of our salvation. Then there are those gifts of God which St. Paul terms the fruit in composite, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and the many other Christian virtues which the Lord gives us as we grow in his grace. Then there are the charismatic gifts which the Lord grants the church, charismatic in the New Testament sense. And Paul outlines them in this three-chapter section of 1 Corinthians, beginning at chapter 12, at verse 14. And these are the gifts of the utterance of knowledge, of wisdom, being able to teach, being able to give liberally, to show hospitality, to prophesy, and so on. In our text today, the apostle asks us to concentrate our attention upon one of those spiritual gifts, and that is the gift of prophecy. And so, on the basis of what the apostle tells us in our brief discussion here this morning, we would encourage you eagerly to desire and assiduously to cultivate the gift of prophecy. What is the gift of prophecy? To prophesy means to speak forth the word of God. Now, there were the ancient prophets who received direct revelations from God, which they internalized and then recommunicated to the people. And the apostles in the New Testament sense are called prophets also of that kind. Prophet in the narrower sense. In the broader sense, prophet refers to any Christian who communicates the word of God for the building and blessing of another. What are the subjects of prophecy? They're told us here in the text before us. Verse 2 of chapter 14. "For he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." Word of God is comprehended and then is spoken to others for their benefit and blessing, for their upbuilding in faith and life. Edification. The next word is exhortation. On the basis of this understanding of God and his great revelations, which are already inscripturated, the recommunication of the already inscripturated word, prophecy in the broader sense, others then are helped and strengthened. Admonitions on the basis of this encourage others to take this promise or that precept to heart and to believe or to follow as the Lord directs. And the third word here is comfort. Because the addressees were living in a situation in which there was always opposition from the world and suffering of one type of another or another, and Paul said we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Therefore, the words of consolation are needed by brothers and sisters in the faith from time to time as they experience the sorrows of life. Now, why did Paul place such an importance upon the gift of prophecy, so that he would say in the first verse, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you, writing to the Corinthian congregation, may prophesy. What is so great about the gift of prophecy? Well, we should note the background against which this word of God is written. The Corinthians were inordinately enamored of the gift of speaking in tongues, thinking that was the greatest thing out. And Paul has to correct them. He says that's really the lowest of the spiritual gifts. For you see, the value of a spiritual gift is measured precisely by the amount of good it does fellows in the faith and the body of Christ. A tongue speaker is not understood. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. He who prophesies speaks to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless someone is there to interpret. In the church, I would rather, says Paul, speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. The value of a tongue is minimal. The value of the gift of communicating the word for the edification, exhortation, comfort of others is maximal. And there's something the Corinthians didn't think about at all in the second part of our text, and that is the effect of speaking in tongues on unbelievers who may wander into the congregation and participate in the given worship service. He said, if you're all gathered together and you speak in tongues, and I hope in order, not a union shula where they all speak at once, but in sequence, as he advises later on in the Corinthian context, he won't know what's going on. His judgment will be that you are all mad, you're crazy. But if you prophesy, that has a double effect. First of all, it edifies the saints. And as he hears the words, the stranger hears the words of law and gospel presented, when and where it pleases God, it will grip his heart. His conscience will be stirred. He'll see his sinfulness. He'll be ready to accept the gospel and then admit God is certainly among you and be led to the faith in Christ. So of how much value to strangers visiting in our worship services would speaking in tongues be? And so he encourages then that you speak by way of prophecy. Earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Verse 12. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. What words, and how appropriate, especially for this school of the prophets, Concordia Theological Seminary. How do we acquire the gift of prophecy which is available to us today in the broader sense? By the assiduous study of God's Word, so that we internalize it. We understand more and more of the sacred truth. It is upon our mind, our hearts, as we go through the day. And when and where we have opportunity, we communicate that truth to others. We pray that God will open the eyes of our understanding, that we may behold wondrous things out of his law. And as these strengthen us, we impart that same kind of strength to others. It does not mean that we sit around in our rooms and wait for some divine revelation from heaven. God does not grant that anymore. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, says the apostle in the letter to the Ephesians. No, revelation is closed, it's fixed, it's inscripturated. We comprehend the word, take it in, and give it out to others. And we pray that God will lead us to an ever fuller, more complete understanding of that word, and give us a greater capacity to apply it to the needs and the wants of men round about. Eagerly desire and assiduously cultivate the gift of prophecy. Paul's words of counsel also to us today, in this month of June, 1999. God grant it to us increasingly. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we ask it. Amen.